Hello everyone, my name is Xiang Zhao. I'm from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. I'm currently a graduate student. Today I'll be talking about the topic of problem support for rework. This work is done in collaboration with Professor Osterweil from UMass Amherst, Professor Lerner from Montpelier College, and Professors Booth and Ellison from Harvard. So the problem that we're going to solve, trying to look at, is the, how to support the rework. Rework refers to basically repeating the activities that were previously done. In the process that we've been looking at in our lab, we find that rework is very common. So we've been looking at the medical processes, election processes, scientific data processes, and of course software engineering processes. A very simple example of rework from software engineering processes is that if you imagine like there's a waterfall model where the design specifications follows, for example, the requirement specifications. Sometimes when we are working on the designs and you find that there are some inconsistencies between these requirements and designs, and you have to go back to go back to the requirement phase to rework on the requirement. That's a very simple scenario. If that kind of reworking involves more phases, for example, if it involves cold phases, it is not uncommon for software developers who have finished maybe 80% of the code, and then suddenly he found that it shouldn't be like that. The requirements needs to be changed or design needs to be changed, and that happens a lot in software engineering processes. And at that time, they have to go back to review their previous decisions about the requirements and the designs. And because that may, usually they may involve more artifacts. For example, the requirement and designs and the code, they have to be maintained consistent to each other. So that will make this rework more complicated, because one thing that is changed, the other thing has to be changed too. So the rework is, it could be more complicated. The fact that this rework is very pervasive and it's quite complicated sometimes, but we find that most of the software engineering books, they don't address this topic. And we are trying to come up with a way to support this. And the way we trying to propose is some process problem support. We think that could be helpful. The intuition is very simple, actually. So people, they are doing their things that they have done before, and their experience will grow. If they are aware of what decisions they have made before, and what branches they have taken, and what decisions, how their decision may affect the artifacts in previous rework, previous work, when they are faced with the similar situations, and they are supposedly to make better decisions. So I'll be showing this example in refactoring as an example of rework, which is shown in the paper. So because I'm going to show mainly a number of process diagrams in the next couple of slides, so I have to give you a context of what exact things that I'm going to model here. So we'll pick up one particular refactoring task, which is called separate query from modifier. That means you're going to split a method with that was both a query and a modifier into two methods to eliminate these side effects of the method. There are some steps I took from Fuller's book. Create a query method, return the same value, and then change return statement, replace the call of the query, and change the original method to avoid and remove these return statements. So I'm going to focus the second step to change the return statement in the original method to return the query. So what we have find in this example is that this process actually involves a number of rework instances. They are different. So this is diagram. It's a process diagram that we wrote it in a process language called LittleGL. So this diagram, as you can see, is a tree structure. So these black rectangles represents the step, as we refer to in the language. I mean, this is a piece of work that should be done by some assigned agents in the process. And we can, this is a tree structure, and we have like non-leaf steps and leaf steps. For the non-leaf steps, we see that, for example, this modify original method step, there's a blue arrow in it. That means that the following, its children steps need to be performed sequentially. For example, it's like the change return statement, and then after that, we have to compile and run unit test. That's the workflow. There's a little red cross on this, on this modify original method. That represents the exception handling mechanisms for this language. So for example, like when you are working on the compile step, and the compile step may throw an exception typed as the compilation failure exception. And there are two different exception handlers here, handle compilation failure and handle unit test failure. They will identify the types of the exception thrown and triggers the different kinds of exception handler and triggers rework as we model it. So on the edges, we see there's some source file name, source file content, these things. They are the artifact bindings. So the parent step and the children step, they communicate the products, the artifacts through the edges. So for example, when you finish the change return statement step, the source file content artifact is going to be copied out into this modify original method and then can be used as the input to other steps. So this is the basics of this language. So now, I mean, this language is a hierarchically decomposable, so we can define them to arbitrary detail that we want to. So for example, we want to make detail of this handle unit test failure step, and to let's elaborate with more rework scenarios. So we can see here, once there's unit test fails, now we have to do an exception handling that involves a number of rework. For example, we need to do the change return statement again, and maybe create the query method, which was in the very first step of the refactoring task, and then compile and then run unit tests. So a very interesting scenario is where, I mean, when you are trying to fix these errors, exceptions, the new exceptions could arise, triggering new rounds of rework. And so as we can see, this rework can be very, very recursive. The handle unit test failure and this handle unit test compilation failure, they can go into the very deep level, and so as the rework, so as their context, I mean, the history is also nested, and the context become more, and it becomes more complicated to manage. We argue that the actual rework should be guided by the notion of the context provided by the problem support. So, why is it? Because, I mean, people may ask some sort of questions when the rework has come down to a very low level. They may wonder, so where am I in this process? What did I do? So what were my previous decisions? What should I do now? So what are the other artifact values? So which is likely to turn out best? Things like that. So we strive to answer these questions by providing this support for this, using the problem support to help it. The contextual information, as we see, we expect them to have like the present process execution state. It should be a collection of the present artifact values and maybe the pointers to the current executing steps and how deep the recursion is, the current recursion is. And we need a complete process execution history. For example, the prior values of artifacts, how these are particular artifact is derived, what are the control flows of previous steps, and how my previous decisions exactly have affected these artifacts. And by synthesizing this information, we want to come up with some plan to help the users to complete this rework successfully. And we propose a data structure, which is called data derivation graph, is the key artifact to capture all of this information. So this is a data derivation graph. So on the left is a snippet of the data retrieval graph. On the right is the process that is generates it. So we see there are different kinds of nodes in the data derivation graph. We have ovals, like green ovals, that corresponds to the non-leaf steps in the process. For example, I don't know if that's clear on the slides, but it says handle unit test failure start, the first one. That will provide some scoping information. For example, like when you see this node happening in this DDG, this data derivation graph, we know that so this step has started, and so its sub-steps will be posted. So for the non-leaf steps, we have these yellow ovals to represent it. We have these rectangles to represent the artifact. For example, this red, these are red rectangles, represents the exception objects, which can be thrown, for example, from this run unit test step, and it's going to triggers the handle unit test failure step. We also have like regular artifacts, like for this one, the source file content or unit test suite, something like that. So this represent the data flows in these process definitions. So as we can see, so this data derivation graph is a defined template for translating these logical step executions into the DAG fragments. We can see from these diagrams the data flows, the control flows. For example, we can see how a specific artifact, like for example, the source file content is derived, what steps it's been through, and what changes we have made. And we also have scoping information. For example, we want to see what did I do in this particular exception handler scope, so we can see that. We also have some additional features like the version edges. You can see that collects the different versions of the same artifact to show you how these the artifacts are derived. And the detail history is inferable. So one of the most, there's a thing I want to emphasize that we can generate this DDG dynamically, automatically, while the process is being executed. So this diagram is going to be generated from the process, and in turn, this diagram is going to be used in the process to help the people to do better rework. So how is this supposed to be helpful? So there's a kind of small scenario where the users may were trying to fix an exception that's caused by unit test failure, and then they change the code, and then they triggers another exception that caused the compilation failure, and then they have to do the rework again, and they have to look at these artifacts and see what changes they have made in the previous iterations. And we can provide this using this diagram, and we also incorporate some tools that can show the diffs between these different versions of the artifacts in different stages of the rework under different scopes. We also have a scientific data process in our paper. We have a poster for that yesterday. I think some people may have seen it. Please check our paper and poster for details. So there's some future work we want to say is that we want to know how to present the right information. We want to support asking questions during rework because the DDG can become very large. It suffers from scalability issues. We want to support querying to them and present the most useful information to the users. We want to capture ripple effects and want to study more refactoring patterns. So the time is up. Yeah, okay, so some related work, some rework formalization work and context support. There's a Mylin, which is a tool to integrate a task management task context. And we have Kepler and Vistrails, I've been looking at. So the conclusion that we have been able to provide executable model for rework process, and we have been able to use this promise data as the first class data that's available process-wide and directly supports the process that generates it. And DDG supports the scoping and nesting, version edges, and there are equivalence edges in scientific data processes. and it supports process inspection and retrospection. Thank you. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's what we are trying to do. Somebody asked this same question when I was giving a talk in XE. So this is what we're trying to do, to make a practical tool that incorporates these kind of features, and that will be very helpful. So now this is like just a work in progress. We're looking forward to
that. So the biggest impediment to that, some of the scalability issues you've mentioned, that you can't really go back very far in the history?
Not that thing, but we can store that. But the DGG the data derivation graph we generate becomes very, very large. We couldn't show them as a whole, right? Because currently we just gave them a chunk of diagrams. You know, this very large thing. I want to be able to filter it according to the queries, maybe. Yeah, to provide most of that.
Get it down to one message, right?
One message. No, right, yeah, you're right, yeah, exactly. We want to synthesize the information to present maybe some tips or something like that. That's what we're trying to do, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
I had a question.
Hi.
The borderline between modeling and execution. So the way I know Google is as a modeling tool that you often apply static analysis techniques to try to understand your process. You model it in little Jill, then you try to analyze it. Now,
right.
Clearly you're going in the direction of execution.
Yeah.
Can you just say a little bit the bigger picture there? How do you see the role of static analysis and then creating maybe now a runtime system? Where are you going with this?
So currently what I'm more focused on is the execution part. So Professor Clark in our lab, I think she's definitely more focused on this static analysis stuff. Because we have... We believe that it's a rigorous model for a process, and we can perform some static analysis. We can check properties on it. But the process is meant to be executable. That's our thoughts. I mean, we think that because by executing this process, we have a central interpreter that do this and to control, to coordinate the different kinds of agents that do this process. This can provide a tool environment in some sense to integrate different kinds of tools and have a process at the back of these executions. I've been through this before. We factor example, we have been able to execute it, and people can just, but we don't have a good user interface, it's just a terminal. People can use, the interpreter will say what you want to do next, probably, and we'll give you hints of what you want to do. And you're going to invoke different kinds of tools to help you do that. So that's the answer to your question. Thank you. Thank you.